All right, right now, let's head out and down south and speak to Tim and Greg, the appraisal guys, a frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. DQAG.com on the web, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Here we are.
You know, that show, you know, every once in a while, we air something that I know myself. I've done things in production, and I put them together, and they sounded great, and you're with friends, you know. It's great. But then you listen to it, you know, in the environment of being on the radio, and you say, well, actually, that kind of sucked. That kind of sucked. Well, that last thing kind of sucked. I'm sorry.
But anyway, how you doing, Marshall?
I'm doing absolutely fine. We're getting showers and thunderstorms today, and then back to nice weather, I guess, tomorrow.
Oh, good. Yeah, we were just in Ohio. We went back to it was Greg's high school reunion. They had like a birthday celebration. Everybody was turning 70, and Greg's birthday's on Friday. So we decided
2 years ago was our 50th, and so the organizer at the dinner then said, well, what do we want to do for our 55th? Do we want to wait 5 years? And I just raised my hand and I said, Mike, you know, at our age, 5 years is a long time, and there's a possibility that some of us might not make it that far. So why don't we do a birthday party for our 70th in 2 years instead? So that everybody thought that was a good idea, so we did, and it turned out to be one of the most fun times I ever spent with any of my classmates. It was really fun. So,
well, we also got to see family, which was good.
Yeah, so, we did see some family,
and talked a lot about. It was interesting how they have so much stuff. And that some of them, they're, you know, dealing with their parents or their kids that don't want any of it and what they're going to do. So it was, we also did a little interventions as well, just saying you need to get rid of this or get rid of that. But it was interesting.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you find out that somebody's a doctor and then you go, you know, I have this spot on my elbow that really hurts. What can I do about it? Well, it's kind of the same thing with us being appraisers and people when they find out that's what we do. And of course, my classmates, a lot of them now we're 70 this year. And so they're going through the similar things that we see down here all the time. So it was a lot of fun, and it was interesting to see their.
And I think it was the spouse of one of your classmates. It was Vicky and her husband. Was that Roger or? Anyway, he has a steam engine collection. Now this is a collection of just some toys working. He has them. He belongs to a steam engine club and a steam engine society, and all of this. And he was even showing me on the phone some of the. How these work and what, and I said, yeah, I'm very familiar. And I was talking to him about the makers. If they were American, it would have been Whedon. And if it was German, it would have been Marklin or Bing and some of these. And you should have seen his eyes light up. He just thought, oh my God, somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff. But I asked him, I said, what are you going to do with all of these? And what are your friends talking about all of this stuff? Because the next generation is not coming in and collecting it. And he said, yeah, that's the problem is that, you know, my grandkids, I try to get them involved in this and interested, but they just don't seem to be very interested. And I said, well, that's what's happening. That's what's going on out there. So I said, you need to take back, you need to either do something, create a museum or, you know, get them somewhere into where people can actually see them and appreciate them. Because if not, he said, yeah, I know, they're going to end up in the dumpster.
To that point, there was an article I was reading. I was going to do it last week for the show, but we ran out of time, about the current state of the market for different collectibles and art in general. And still the strongest market is definitely fine art and contemporary art. But the markets that are starting to really show the effect of what Tim just mentioned about no one wanting to collect things that their parents or grandparents had, the markets are actually starting to really show a downturn depending on what it is. The collectibles in particular, I watched the Antique Roadshow the other night when they were doing the something. It was in 2003, and then they compare what's happening in 2019, and almost without fail, every single thing was down by over 50% of what it was in 2003. So there is definitely a swing in the marketplace for collectibles. So,
which that helps us a lot as appraisers. I'm going to jump in here, Greg, because it's getting the word out. If people who are fans of Antiques Roadshow, they do now see this, and they see that there is this readjustment in the marketplace because of just generational collecting and what's going on and what's happening. That, yeah, these things once were, we thought it was $2,000. Now it's $300, you know, or $200 to $300, and it's changing. There also are some things that are holding their own, and very few that continue. And that article that you were referencing, I did read. It was interesting. It was in ArtNet, and it was all about what's going on in the marketplace, like up to this point. I think it was up to June, and looking at international sales. And one of the comments that they said, yes, that fine art, like the contemporary art, is continuing to go up. But those are just the big names. If there's everything else, and that's pretty much what's going on in the collectibles world, is that and everything else, and even in the furniture. Yeah, those big names still sell, but some of them, especially in furniture and collectibles, they're selling at a reduced rate of where they used to sell in like 2003 or 2000, or, you know, almost 20 years ago. So we're seeing this shift in the marketplace. And part of what we have to do as appraisers and also valuation consultants is, when we're talking with clients about value, about anything that we're doing, is really have our finger on the pulse of what's going on in the marketplace. And that's why we keep watching, taking a look at things. And when things surge, you know, is this a trend or is it just one thing? It was that thing because of its provenance, because of its condition, because of its rarity, that really makes and drives the market. And I think more and more people are getting more sophisticated about what it is that they want to put their money into. There's coming up here in August, there's several car auctions. And we talked about that. I think the James Bond car is coming up for auction. There's also the very first Porsche that was produced is coming up for auction. And there are some other big name cars that are going to be the stars that pull in people. They probably will sell for record prices. And the Liz Taylor Rolls Royce. But then there may be, you know, other things that if you can't afford the star lot, well, then maybe there's some other things. So I think that's always been what auctions were about. Or here's the stars. Here are the stars that we're offering. And if you can't afford those, then let's look at these other things. It's kind of the strategy of auction as well, and what they're doing to try to sell.
Now, when you get into times like the times we're in now, like there's, you know, with Brexit coming up and with China and with the United States, and worldwide economies are shaky. See, to me, it would be a time, if you had the money, to invest in a piece of art or invest in an automobile that's a one of a kind, because those values will indeed never, ever go down. They might not go up as much, but they'll never, ever go down.
Well, it depends on what it is. And that's where you need to consult with an art advisor or somebody who can tell you, because a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just get any Warhol. Well, not every Warhol goes up. There's certain parts of, there's certain cachet pieces, there's certain iconic pieces that you would want if you can afford, then great. And the same with automobiles. And you know that, is that it depends. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And that's why you don't want to just jump out there unless you know what you're doing and researching. And it does make a difference, especially with what's going on with the China trade wars. I mean, look at your stock portfolio. You see that there's just volatility that's in the marketplace. And when there's volatility in question, a lot of investors will either shy, some will shy back, others will say, ah, this is a great opportunity to buy and maybe put my money into something else until this all blows over. Because you know it'll blow over and you know it'll change. But it's people's reaction to that. That's what we can't predict. And that's where the markets really are a reflection of what's going on in the economic world.
And I don't think that the average person, and I'm not saying, I'm just talking the average person who doesn't purchase a $2 million car knowing that it's going to go to $4 million. What I found with people that purchase art that know what they're doing and automobiles or antiques, they know what they're doing. And they know what the risks are. And also, most of the time, I'll never forget, I was in a bank here in Sharon, and a woman that I know who's a wealthy woman, this was 20 years ago, came in. I was talking with the bank manager, and she came in and went right by me and plopped down a whole bunch of bank books on the desk. And she said, shuffle it around, please. It's been 3 or 4 years. So it didn't amount at that point. The money amount didn't matter. Just shuffle it around and do something else with it. I think that's an attitude that a lot of people that collect things that are either art, antiques, or cars have, that once they get them, you know, basically they don't sell them to get money back. They sell them to get other things that they want. They're not forced to sell, and yet they can go out and find somebody who is forced to sell, and they can get something extra. It's
correct.
That's the way to look at it.
That's where that saying, the guy who dies with the most toys win. That's kind of where that came from, because they almost like hoarding, they get the best of the best when they can get it cheaply, and they build their collections, and that's where the great collections over the years have come from. And you're absolutely right, that's what collectors do.
What they should do is trade up, so that they are getting rid of some of the other ones and then get better condition and better items. And that's part of the whole strategy of collecting. Some get stuck and they can't get rid of anything.
But what the interesting thing, if they really know what they're doing, at this point they're not selling the inventory for money. They're reinvesting is what they are.
Correct, because it may be in the same sale that they're also they're selling their lesser condition to purchase a better condition, and they're using that as, you know, paying for 3/4 of the whatever they need to pay down, you know. So it does make sense. And I've seen, collectors do that all the time. And this is a good time, because there is speculation, because there is volatility that is in the marketplace. And, you know, we have to be aware of that.
And
before we run out of time, because I know we're almost out of time, I just want to mention a little bit about what Tim said about the first Porsche coming up for sale at Sotheby's. It had 40 horsepower, the first Porsche, and it topped out at 90 miles an hour, as opposed to what they do now, like over 200 miles an hour. But the interesting thing about this is, what do you think that the estimate it to sell for?
What would I guess? Between $4 and $5 million.
$20 million. The auction house is expecting the car to sell for at least $20 million.
Well, it's number one of one. So.
Yes, right. And there's only one known. There were were only three that were made, there was only one known photo that survived. But I actually just sent you an article to your email address, and it has a photo that it's at Sotheby's right now and what it looks like. And it looks like a toon car.
Right.
If you want, like Jessica Rabbit, when you look at it, yeah. you will swear to God this came right out of Jessica Rabbit. But it was actually made by Volkswagen. It was a Volkswagen. They call it Porsche because the Porsche, the guy was involved in it. And then eventually it became the Porsche company. But it'll be interesting to follow this.
I saw a half hour program on this automobile just last week. And you realize that not one machine touched that car. Everything in it, the metal, the molding, everything was hand-formed by individual yes. workers.
Wow.
Everything. Wow.
It's made out of airline aluminum, what they make the fuselages of airplanes out of. So it was all hand-hewn, basically.
Yeah, everything in that car was hand-hewn. That 40 horsepower engine, because it was pushing around something that was so light, that car flew at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know if I want to be in that car at 90 miles an hour, to be honest.
But I will tell you, we had just a little snafu at the airport, and the car that we had originally ordered for a rental car, they didn't have. So they upgraded us to a BMW Sport. And that was fun. That really flew.
That's right. All right, guys. Well, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, hey, take care.
Next week, take I'll care. Be a year older.
Well, and you know what? Bye. Don't hurt yourself blowing out the candles. That's a hernia time, I know.
Yeah, well, we're skydiving on his birthday on Friday. My God. So we're doing a big skydive. All right. We'll let you know how that goes.
All right, have fun and happy birthday.
Thanks.
Take care, Marshall.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.